wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Can you believe that it's Saturday morning again? And we'll say good morning to the crew. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to Tim out in Nebraska. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us here this Saturday morning, December 22nd, 2018. The calendar year almost over, almost to 2019, just another, well, not long at all. But we do thank you for joining us. Got lots going on. And I know a lot of people are traveling, but we do thank those that are joining us here, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. But we'll start out with a word of prayer. Jason, we'll ask you if you'd start us out with that.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and ask for your blessing upon this day, upon this program. Father, we pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we go. Father, we pray that you just guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, Father, that you just allow us to be a light into a dark world. We pray, Father, that you just do a mighty work here in this land, Father. We lift up this country to you, this nation to you, and we just ask, Father, that your people turn from their wicked ways, seek your face, and ask, Father, that you do heal this land. We pray, Father, that you just put upon their hearts that what they are to do and how they are to do it. And we pray, Father, for people to purge the sin from their lives that they need to purge from their lives. We pray that you just bring that to mind and that you allow them to be an overcomer, Father. And we pray, Father, for you just to do a mighty work in your people, through your people, and for this land. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. And amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Well, we do have the phone lines open, folks. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to call in, if you have a comment. Lots going on. It's funny how when you look at the world and the way of the world, that some people put a lot more emphasis on that, on what the world's doing, what the government is doing, and some people don't. Some people understand that, hey, we're to be about the Father's business, and we can be about the Father's business under this administration or that administration, and regardless of what is going on, that we have what we have to be going on as well. It's kind of like that with this government shutdown. I guess it's shut down now. But looking outside, it looks like the sun is still going to come up to the east. I'll let you know in about 15 minutes. But it looks like it's the sun is still going to come up. Yeah, over in the west, the moon is going down. The moon's still shining. So it's not the end of the world when we have things like this. But you talk to some people, and some people think that it is, that you know, nothing is going to work anymore. Have looked a little bit more just recently at this, you know, this latest shutdown. Of course, they call it a battle, but the battle between the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, the House passed this last budget bill, but the Senate didn't, doesn't look like it's going to. And so kind of reminds me of the scripture of, you know, hey, you're going to be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Basically, don't worry about it. You know, we still have our work to do. And so didn't know if we guys had any comments on that shutdown today. I think it's really been showing the difference. I'll go as far as saying the idiocracy of certain people in certain parties and what they stand for and what they want.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because, on their Twitter account, hud.gov, you know, just about an hour ago, they put on there, due to the government shutdown, we will not be posting any new updates or responding to questions until normal operations resume. Thank you for your patience and understanding. Well, my first thought is, yeah, Saturday, and you guys only do it once a week anyway. What was the Apotomax, NHP, it says, during the federal government shutdown, we do not monitor or update social media. The courthouse, National Historic Parks, is closed for resources, protection, and safety. For more information, please call. And it's like I can't even figure out exactly what this government shutdown is going to entail. I know that they're talking federal parks and federal some stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, you know, the local police department is not going to be affected. You know, the sheriff's department is not going to be affected.
Right. Post office is still going to be open.
Yep. So.
Well, and it's interesting they're calling it Schumer's shutdown. And I was thinking back to when Pelosi and Schumer and Trump were having that meeting outside the Oval Office when he was going in, and it was televised or whatever, and they kept wanting to go in and talk privately, and Trump said, well, I'll shut the government down for the wall, because no wall, no budget deal, and I'll shut it down, and I'll take the credit for it, you know. And I think that, you know, they decided that, well, if there's credit, yeah, well, we're going to shut it down, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he put a new spin on it, didn't he?
Yeah, and their idea is totally different as regards that. And the other thing I would remind everybody is there's video out there if you want to do a search. I don't have it in front of me at the moment, so. But the quick rundown on that is Schumer, just a few short years ago, was talking about calling them undocumented workers and how that was incorrect because they were illegal aliens, and how it was a drain because it was a good talking point for him. And then he wanted to talk about the fact that he was talking about 500 billion or some huge number that's beyond most ordinary people's comprehension for a border wall. And that's what he was trying to get. And they actually did pass a funding bill for that back then. I mean, and now suddenly 5 billion is just is insane, is too much. They're making this all about these invasionary forces that are coming in, you know. and everything else. And we know that there's no such thing as a country without borders. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting. The hypocrisy is just really blatant.
Yeah, it
in
is.
Your face, you know.
Yeah, Tim, I'm glad you brought that up, because it sure seems that the things that they've done in the darkness, the things that they've said before, the deals they've tried to make, they were all about a wall at one point in time, but now they're not, and those things are coming out to the American people. They're seeing them. I think that little news conference that you talked about, that allowed the people to see that you've got national security on one side and you've got idiots on the other. It was basically how it was. And there is no good, valid argument. You know, the days of being able to sit down, like in debate club, and have a debate, not a knockdown dragout, not a just a repeating of the same thing over and over, but a talking and a presenting viewpoints, and this is why, like you learn in debate club, having conversations and trying to sell your point instead of just being a talking head and repeating the same thing over and over, it was quite evident that Pelosi and Schumer are unable to do that because they don't have a valid point. They don't have a good leg to stand on. They've been wishy-washy on it. They've swapped back and forth, and the people are seeing that. I think they are. And when you mention about when the president said, "Hey, I'll shut it down," it's as simple as that. It's on me. I saw it meant to be a derogatory article on the shutdown and on the president, but it said, the responsibility is his. Is the president's for the shutdown, and it is. He presents out what he thinks is best for the country. What he thinks is gonna, he's worked with at least the majority of the people in the House to get this going. It's what the people, part of what the people elected him on, and it is what the country needs. And so this is how you do it. And he's doing it, and those that are of their father, the devil, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, they don't like it. They don't like it at all. And I don't think they're gonna bow down and go with it. We'll see.
Yeah, that's basically, from what I understand, state, local farm service centers, they're going to be closed. National parks are going to be closed. Small business owners are not going to be able to refinance or have their loan assistance, which they said that there's right now there's over 30 million small businesses with loans through the government. I mean, what are the chances they're not taking their loans away? They're just not going to be able to have access to getting more loans. Home buyers that are looking to refinance and go through the Federal Housing Administration. Federal Housing Administration is going to be put on standby. Really, it's a big deal. I mean, if it saves millions of dollars, then so be it.
Yeah, how many people are going to are looking for a business loan with the FHA? The week between, right here, the weekend before Christmas, the week between Christmas and New Year's. And
Because they said it's going to affect air traffic controllers, security officers. It's not going to affect Amtrak. Amtrak is run by government-owned corporations.
Yes.
The border is still going to be closed. Custom agents are still working. Border agents are still working. Social Security is still working. Medicare is still working. Medicaid is still working. Supplemental nutritional assistance programs are still working. The Smithsonian Museum and all the zoos are still open. RAD's still up and running. So, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, big deal.
Right. It's kind of like, what if you had a war and nobody came? What if you shut down the government and nobody noticed?
And nobody noticed.
That's about how it seems like. So, Tim, you had something?
Well, I think that's the issue. I read a survey that they'd done recently, and, you know, surveys are hit and miss type things, but one of the things they were talking about was that people in flyover country are really upset about the way the government's working. They're upset about this, I guess they call it the Democratic agenda. I call it the Antichrist agenda, but there's Republicrats in there too. But the point is flyover country is what they call the area between the two coasts. They act like public opinion is only either the East Coast or the West Coast, and they call the rest of us flyover country. And the truth of the matter is the correct word for the rest of the country is the heartland, you know. And
that's right.
You know, as the heart is, also, you know, so is the body. I don't have the biblical quote to that, but it's one of those things. And there's a lot of really good Christian upright people out there that are in the heartland, you know, and they're tired of this, and they're tired of having people say, well, this is what they want. You know, we pulled a bunch of LA people, or we pulled a bunch of New York people, and it's like, that's not us, you know. Right. So there's a lot of that going on. So
amen.
We're seeing that kind of upheaval come to light. And they don't want to talk about all the diseases that are coming in with these illegal aliens.
Oh my
either.
Gosh.
I was listening to a show, something on the radio here just the other day, and one of the comments that they made was the fact that, well, and look at all the guests that they had on. She was talking about all of the diseases, and the host on the show was like, well, we don't want to talk about that right now. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about policy. And it's like, well, that's part of your policy. I mean, you know,
right.
If someone's going to attack you biologically,
well, and that's
isn't
the thing
that a policy
with,
talking point?
Yeah, with the massive amount of illegal aliens invading our country, you don't know what's coming in. That's the thing. And
no.
There's been, you know, this the caravan chunk stopped right there in Mexico. Tijuana, where they've had, 4,100 murders in the last 2 years, they don't want the people there. You're seeing that. The mayor doesn't want them there. He is putting out, if you can dig around and find the news articles, he puts out that, hey, these people are criminals. And he even said, America, you don't want them in your country either anymore, and I want them here. That's the mayor of Tijuana.
You don't need to.
No, they've had. There was a thing. There were several teens that were knifed and killed in the you know what's left of that caravan just the other day, and boy, nobody liked it when the president got word and put it out that you know there are ISIS members, there are M13 gang members in this caravan. That's exactly what the drug runners and the drug cartels look for. To jump in or to dump their drugs in with these hapless people wanting to get into the country, and they, you know, certainly there probably are some people that just wanting to better yourself, and I know that there's some there that want to better yourself. That is not that does not allow you to claim political asylum. Just wanting to better yourself.
Right.
And, you know, so these 7, 8, 10, 12, 14,000 people, make your own country better. Make your own country better. Our country has been more than willing to put money and knowledge. You know, how many groups go to foreign countries, and what do? They build wells, and they teach the people, okay, this is your drinking water. Don't pee in it. Okay? And the people go, see, okay, we will not do that anymore. I mean, it all over the islands, South America, you know, the. I mean, it is insane to even think about that, but that's how it is. And so, you know, we certainly can do more of that, they call it missionary work. We certainly can do more than that, you know, got a neighbor. His family and boys went down, I think, about 6 weeks ago, down to like Guatemala, and built a house. You know, built like a community house and home for some people and things like that. And you know, certainly we've talked about it. That needs to be done here. But that's the type of help we need to be giving these people. They need to be in their place. They need to make their place better. Instead of coming here and bringing their I don't want to say just not just their problems, but their way of life, their diseases, their culture. Boy, you mentioned diseases. You know, resistant. What do they call it? Antibiotic resistant. Is that what it is? Treatment resistant. TB has just in Florida and California, in Texas and New York. Those four states. Drug resistant. I think that's what they call it. Drug resistant TB is just rampant. And syphilis. Yeah. Syphilis has made a huge comeback. And it's not just the majority of it comes from overseas, and then it spreads out. And you know, we've that's just a couple of the diseases that these people bring that we have not seen. You know, they have this they call it Middle Eastern polio because the troops were seeing it in the you know, over there in Afghanistan and Syria and Iran and Iraq. They were seeing this in the children over there, and they called it Middle Eastern polio because it very much polio-like symptoms, you know, paralysis and things like that. Well, we're seeing it here in the States now. They've got some name for it. It, you know, IPG or some pig or something like that. And we're seeing it here in the States now because this massive influx of foreigners that have not been checked out medically, like when the immigration happened in the 1700s and 1800s, they were, as they came through Ellis Island.
Well, yeah, I think the other issue with the disease thing, as far as that goes, is I really think that they don't follow. That was one of the things I was going to mention, too, was the fact that now I see where these illegal immigrants that are parked south of the border, they're like, okay, well, I'll go back if you give us $50,000 apiece.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and the thing we need to realize is that their motivational point is, and of course there's all kinds of undercurrents and undertones about the fact that somebody paid to get them up here, which makes sense. You don't move that many people around without water and food and toilets,
right,
and all those sorts of things, but the point is when the settlers, not the illegal immigrants, not the immigrants, whatever you want to call them, when they came over here and set this country up, they were Christian people. And you know, that's not a popular talking point, but it doesn't change the fact that they were Christian people. They were,
amen,
of the Protestant persuasion. They knew that there was a set of rules that God had put in place to make things work. You know, you work or you don't eat. You know, you clean your, you keep your home clean. You have your restroom facilities are set up a certain way. There's a certain order, a godly order to the way things that are done. And they came over here not in the interest of money, but in the interest of Christian religions. Freedom, you know, and we have a group here that is coming in, and their motivation is financial gain
only. They don't have that foundation, and nor do they want it. You know, nor do they want it. The majority of them, if there's any type of religious at all, it's, you know, whatever's left over of some type of Catholic, who knows what. And there's no love your neighbor as yourself. There's no do unto others as you would have others do unto you. It is more like the way the Indians were. You know, the American Indian. Oh, the most honorable great red man. You know, the chief was the biggest thief. Whoever could steal the most,
yeah,
from the other camp or from the you know, when the whites got here. Whoever could steal the most horses and kill the most, that was the chief. That's their culture. Now, oh, I might be culturally insensitive. That's the way it is. I'm kind of insensitive. But that's just the way it is. It's just facts. You can sugarcoat it. You can gild it all. You can gild that lily all you want. But that's just the facts. And it, there are different cultures that, you know, hold different values. You know, the pedophilia down south is just part of their values. Sex with a child to these illegals, that's just part of it. In the Middle East, it's that way. It's just part of their culture. Well, by God, it's not part of our culture, and you're not going to bring it here, you filthy pigs. It's as simple as that. And it's time for those flyovers, like you mentioned, to stand up, and I think that's where we're getting to stand up and do that. Guys, let's take a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard.
Hey.
Hello, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Very good morning to you. Well, the shortwave's coming in booming.
Good.
Excellent audio reception here in PA. I got two points here. I was listening to NPR, National Propaganda Radio, very early in the morning, like I usually do, just to get a feel for what they think. And it's funny. It was a funny thing. I was chuckling for 15 minutes after I heard it. The U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, I guess you'd call his name, P-O-M-P-E-O. There was an interview with him by someone named Steve Itzke, and Pompeo was taking control of the whole interview and basically calling these people liars. He was saying that everything you, and this ain't a quote, basically saying that everything you people put out is not fact based. There's no real research behind it, et cetera, and so forth. So that's a piece of good news. Granted, it was 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
And most people around here, anyway, aren't awake then. And then shortly after that, I heard that another Antichrist kicked the bucket. Ginsburger.
Oh, did she die?
I think so.
Wow. I know.
She had some kind of tumor. She was fighting for years and years, and she finally succumbed to it. So.
Oh, wow. Wow, I hadn't heard that yet. I knew that is major. I knew they were removing a cancerous growth or something. Last I heard, Thursday maybe, but I didn't hear that she died. Wow.
I believe so.
Well,
let's say look.
Well, anyway, yeah. It, you know, every now and then the truth sneaks out, and that, you know, National Jewish Radio, National Public Radio. You know, it's rare when they get it out, but sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And you're right. It's lies. It's so much of this idealism. Well, we have to do this.
Yeah, just hold that thought for a second. I'm looking here. Ginsburg was nominated. Obituary of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So I guess it's true. I wasn't half asleep.
Wow. Well, that must have just happened. Yeah, I didn't.
Yep. Well, we can praise God for another dead Antichrist, I guess. I don't know her heart. All I know is what I've heard. She was on the wrong end of just about everything I've seen so far. So, anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I knew the flags were flying at half staff the other day, and I wondered what that was about. That must have been it.
Yeah, I know they've been. Yeah, they have been here, and it's been, seems like one person after another, but...
Anyway, I thought that thing with Pompeo was hilarious. The guy, this interviewer was basically just sitting there taking it. I can't remember what they were talking about, but being that Secretary of State has the ear of the President, I suppose been there all that time. I guess he basically is, he's a good pick. among many of the ones that have fallen away.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks for the update, Joe.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. God bless.
Yep. Be blessed. Bye now.
Yeah, like I started out with, you know, some things that happen in the government just control people's lives, and it doesn't with others. You know, there's a whenever you listen, and I, sometimes traveling, I'll, you know, if you're flipping through the dials, I don't have Sirius or XM anymore, but because I don't travel a whole lot, but just traveling, sometimes you hit that NPR radio station just to, like Joe said, to see what they're saying. And the majority of it, you should be able to just see it as propaganda for what it is. That, you know, oh, well, we're making a difference. We're feeding the children. We're providing water. We should be doing this and that. But it's all idealism. There's very little hard fact to it. Reminds me of that country western song. You know, here in the real world, where we really have to do things like work and pay taxes, and that is lost on those people. They just don't. It's like they don't even live here. They just don't realize it in what they put out and how they put it out. It is always anti-Republican. It is always anti-Trump. And for the most of it, it's anti, I think, American, the way we think America is. Anti-heartland, to bring that term back up, Tim, that you used. It seems like it's either West Coast philosophy or New York philosophy that's put out there. The term fake news sure comes to mind when you hear what they put out as news. Anyway, so.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
That was interesting, too. One of the things that's come up here recently is, well, Trump just got rid of the prohibition on hemp in the United States.
Yes.
And it's been, you know, I mean, it's been under prohibition for 50 years, nearly 50 years now. And, you know, industrial hemp will be legal to grow across America starting January 1st of 2019. So that's just not that far away.
That's right.
And it's able to be sold across the border. So that's encouraging. I mean, that's especially for the agriculture side of it. It's just really encouraging to me because, I mean, if you look and see what that can do for, I mean, the oil production off of that and the feed production and the food value that comes out of it. It's just phenomenal.
It is.
And so that's there's another six states that can, you know, if they want to mandate it or regulate it, they have 60 days to put together a proposal and send it to the federal government. But other than that, it's pretty much a done deal. So
Amen.
That's kind of exciting.
That is. I saw that they just signed the farm bill, I think Thursday. And that was part of it. It'll classify hemp as an agricultural commodity and remove it from the federal controlled substances list. And, you know, you look back, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, both grew hemp. It was used in clothing and ropes and sails and nets. And even during World War II, the agricultural department urged, and this was part of their propaganda. See, you know, it was mentioned earlier about, you mentioned it, Tim, about Pelosi and Schumer, you know, pushing for a wall and stuff just, you know, a few years ago and calling these invaders what they are, but they flip-flop now. Well, back in World War II, the agricultural department was urging, as they put it, patriotic farmers to plant hemp because it grew quick and it could be used in so many different ways for many products. But after World War II, things changed. And it was in 1970 that Congress made it illegal to grow. So that's been, like you said, Jason, almost 50 years. So it is an exciting thing. Boy, the hemp oil has been taken the medical industry by surprise, and I think it's been overwhelming to where they have not been able to keep it away from the people. I've talked to several people that have, you know, use it. What, Jason, you could probably fill us in on that, but for joint pain and for just all types of stuff. And it just seems like it is a really growing market, you might say.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I want to know is,
one of the,
can you grow it at 7,400 feet elevation? That's what I want to know.
Too much grow just where you want to plant it.
Really? Really? Is it like alfalfa, Jason, where it needs a lot of water, or does it just kind of grow, or what?
The thing about it is it's a hardy plant. I mean, there's
really
obviously a lot of different varieties, but you got to find the right variety for your area, and I mean,
right.
You can make it grow.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be huge. You know, in the day of all these tariffs and this nationalism that President Trump is promoting more and more, America first, America first. This helps. This helps.
We're in a situation with our farmers where they have been locked into this game plan, this debt,
yes,
grow debt cycle. And you know, anybody who's been involved or observe the industry, you know, every time at harvest time the price is just slammed, and you know, it puts them in a terrible position as far as that goes, and this is one of those things that's kind of a game changer. It gives them the ability to generate a different crop. You know, would you go sit down at a card game if you knew that it was totally fixed against you and no matter what you did, you were going to lose?
Yeah, just,
you
know, just for the fun of playing the game, right? Just for, you know, yeah, I just like to play the game. I know I'm going to lose. I know it's going to cost me money. I just want to do it anyway. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
And so you feel bad for these guys. And there's, if you don't like, if that's the way it is, then the only option you have is not to play or to go play a different game somewhere else if that's really what you want to do. And I think that's part of that whole Make America Great Again philosophy. Is what we're seeing is let's get the rules more equitable. Let's get the rules more straight across the board so that everybody has a chance depending on their own merits and their own work as far as what they want to do. And I think we're seeing a response to that from the Fed with the continuation of the raising of interest rates. I mean, they have continued, as the economy has done better, they reach over and poke it every time they get the chance by raising interest rates. So, we see a lot of things. There's a lot of undercurrent combative measures going back and forth with this will help, and you know, the response, and I think that's what we're seeing here with this government shutdown. So it's one of those things. Who's going to get the credit?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, this could be huge. This could be, you know, and who would have thought? Even just, I mean, maybe the people that were working on this, but. You know, I haven't seen anything in the news, haven't really talked, you know, the only time it's really comes up, even anything with this, is when people are talking about, you know, states legalizing marijuana and things like that, and several states have done that, but, you know, the understanding, and maybe that's why it's taken this long, is, you know, for the understanding and the thought to get out there that hemp is not marijuana, hemp is not something you can get high off of, hemp is good. You know, it is. And it, like you said, Jason, agriculturally, it can be used for almost anything. Jason, didn't you tell me it was so much more better as a feed item than even like an alfalfa or a good hay?
Oh, yeah, it grows. I mean, the thing is a lot of these farmers are going to be, I'm sure that they're going to be switching over, instead of growing corn, they're going to be growing hemp just because of the sustainability of it. I mean, it's very drought resistant. It's hardier. It's, you can produce 10 times more hemp, and up to on 1 acre, it's equivalent to 10 acres of corn is equivalent to 1 acre of hemp, but is as a feed. You know, the protein's there, the fiber's there. They're saying that there's over 25,000 industrial uses for it, and you know, it's it's you know, drought resistant, which we're having a lot of droughts in the land. It's flood resistant. Well, we're having a lot of floods in the land.
Did you tell me, was it Henry Ford had a car that that ran on hemp oil, and that it was like the plastics and stuff inside of it were made out of hemp?
Henry Ford's Model T, Model A, whatever it was, the plastic was made out of hemp, the belts were made out of hemp, the paint was made out of hemp, the oils were made out of hemp. I mean, it was, you know, it was basically built on hemp.
Right. See, there's knowledge that our people, it's been taken away from our people. You know, how many people would understand that back in World War II, the Agriculture Department was asking people to grow hemp? Grow hemp for the War Department. Grow hemp. And here, just a few generations later, it's been illegal for so long, and now that's coming back. That's knowledge that's been taken away that is coming back.
People probably should know the difference. I mean, you know, hemp is not the same thing as marijuana, and that's
right.
A lot of people really don't understand that there is a difference. It is from the same family, but, you know, and basically under this hemp bill, with it included in the farm bill, it's got to have less than 0.03% THC, which is basically is not enough. I mean, you can sit there and you can smoke it all day long, and the only thing that you're going to do is stink and get a headache. It does not get a person high. It has zero psychoactive effect on people, and it
right.
doesn't have that effect on the cows either when the cows eat it. It falls into the CBD category, which is what a lot of people are doing, taking for their joint pains. But, you know, a lot of cancer patients are on it right now, too. I mean, people are taking it for
right.
everything under the sun, it seems like, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Well, and that's one of those things. I mean, if you want to see mass brainwashing and hysteria, and it's one of those hard pills to swallow sometimes that, oh, they got me, too. But there's a lot of people that when they hear, like, when they hear the word hemp, they automatically think marijuana, and they automatically recoil from this sitting in the corner and smoking a psychoactive substance. And, you know, it's that's brainwashing. It's a totally different product. It's a totally different use. And really, it's another item or another thing that God created that has the ability to actually change. It's a game changer for the agricultural industry. I mean, it could literally be the new next gold rush, you know.
Yes.
As far as that goes, I mean, we've got the farmers are in bad shape. I mean, we see it every day. They're in that debt cycle, and it's really tough for them. Their options are extremely limited. Their financial alternatives are tight. And, if you talk to some of these farmers, and the thing that gets me is people say, well, how'd they get into this mess and how'd they do this net? They love the land. They're called by God
right.
to farm. I mean, I know lots of guys who and if you don't have that gift, if you don't have that calling, it's hard for you to understand, but they do. And and they'll do almost anything to stay on their land
that's
and
right.
farm. That's what they want to do. They want
right.
to raise, they want to do animal husbandry. They want to till the earth and do those things. And they feel like it's a holy calling. And it is. I mean, I'm not, but you know, and that's how they've got them into that. They created the problem. Then they created the quote unquote solution. And, that's where they're at. This is way better than a paying them not to farm thing, you know, leaving those acres lay idle and that kind of stuff.
Amen. And this hemp, it looks like being a major, it may be a major crop. And they talk about, you know, profits per acres, they're estimating in here, I had it here. I don't want to just make this number up. I read this. you know, anywhere from over $200 to up to $700 an acre profit. Profit, not cost, profit. You compare that to corn, and just take the mid-road, $500 an acre profit? Holy smokes. That's huge. That's, I mean, that's just almost unbelievable. It is crazy to think that. And so if they can be anywhere near that, that would be a great boon to the American farmer. I know some farmers in Iowa that they've had 600 acres in the family for, I think this is third, maybe fourth generation, right there off the Mississippi Delta, and or the floodplain, not the Delta, that's down south. But 600 acres of corn, you know, and it's in the process. You know, you grow it, it goes to the co-op, you're under contract and all that. But could make more money, make more cash off a five-acre garden farm selling sweet corn to farmers market inside the road. And you think about that. Could make more money off a five-acre garden farm and eat off of it all year versus 600 acres going to the co-op. And that's, you know, that's kind of the predicament that many of our farmers are in. And you can elevate that. You can expand that out, you know, 10 times, 100 times. And that's, you know, they need help. They do. They do. Level the playing field, like you said. Well, you know, let them compete, go ahead.
Well, one of the other issues was that's interesting to me is some of the biggest anti-hemp raisers in the country were the ag chemical companies. They fought it tooth and toenail. I mean, with you know, all of their money and all of their power. And part of the reason that they were doing that is because when you put hemp into a piece of ground that's, say, farmed out with corn where you have to put all this anhydrous and other fertilizers and chemicals on in order to even get your crop to grow. You know, this is a huge overhead bite for these farmers, because basically what's happened is the ground is so depleted of the necessary nutrients to grow that, you know, they have to supplement it. They're giving the ground, well, not vitamins so much as, whatever, but, the point is hemp actually replenishes those. I mean, you know, it puts nutrients back into the ground, things like nitrogen, things like other aspects, minerals and nematodes and different things like that that strengthens the soil and replenishes the soil and helps it break down organic matter. And then when later, if you rotate out and go back to some other crop, it's going to be, you won't have to use as much, if any, of the chemicals. So that kind of explains why a lot of the chemical companies were having such a, you know, major battle with that. They don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on liquid fertilizers or anhydrous or different things like that to make it grow.
Right. Well, folks, phone lines are still open. We've still got about 10 minutes left this morning here. Coffee with the Wranglers is the program. You're listening on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The truth. The truth. You know, Pastor used to call the listeners and the remnant the truth junkies. They were like drug junkies. Just give me more, give me more, give me more. And, you know, we still send that truth out. Because people still want more. People want more that have been getting it for 25, 35 years, as well as new people. We send new newsletters out. We get new people on the ministry all the time that just hear it. They hear it on the shortwave. They hear the preaching, the teaching, the fellowship like this. Just, you know, some Christian men sitting around talking about what's going on. It's encouraging. And that truth resonates with the remnant, and so we are thankful that we, because of your help, your support, you know, we don't have 6,000 acres of hemp that we grow and make $500 an acre to pay for all this. It's, you know, what we do is broadcasting out is because of you, the remnant. And so we thank you for it. And, you know, you get to be a part of it, from financial support as well as, you know, calling in and offering comments or questions. And so we encourage you to do that, and we thank those of you that do.
Well, and I've seen that they pretty much removed the mandate from Obamacare as far as early Affordable Care Act, when a federal judge declared that, you know, it was declared unconstitutional. So I thought that was an interesting.
Yeah, that was encouraging also. Yeah, there's been a lot of things that have been going on, and it's, you know, it's exciting times. You can get discouraged by it, but you know, it's all about attitude, and you know, I think we just need to continue having good attitude and smile for the future. And you know, it's just like those Israelites of old, though weary they pressed on, and that's, you know, needs to be our motto. And you know, no retreat and no surrender. It's you know, when you have an attitude that we want this country back, we want to be this country to be a God-fearing country, that we're free to worship Him as we see fit, and it makes things go a little bit smoother.
Amen. I agree. Yeah, it's smile at the future. You can smile at the future. I mean, there's great things going on, and undoing that evil takes. Yeah, really, there's a lot of undoing going on, and I think that's I love to see that kind of stuff go on, and I think at some point we're going to see the evildoers punished for their iniquitous acts. You know, there have been a lot of really dirty deeds. We've highlighted some of them as time has gone by,
right?
But you know, at some point they're going to get it. So
yeah. Yeah, it is. And, exactly.
Right. Well, and I think just a quick update on, I think Joe might have had his stories crossed just a little bit. The Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, has been in the hospital getting some lung cancer surgery over the last couple days. The latest report is that she's recovering from that. But if you look at that, it'll show real quick that her husband he died of cancer at the age of 78 back in 2010, and so there might have been a little confusion there just in reading the news stories, but just to clarify that. And you know, what do you know? All you can report is what you know, what you see in the news and that type thing. So. Anyway, got a quick call here. We got time for just a quick call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. And this is one of the rare times I get to hear the broadcast. The shortwave just doesn't function like the past.
Where are you calling from, Kevin?
I'm from Ohio.
From Ohio. You got a call from Joe in Pennsylvania that it was booming out there this morning. But
well, this morning it comes in on Saturday morning. It does. From some strange reason, I can listen to you gentlemen on Saturday mornings, and it's really good. Hey, I wanted to bring up something quickly before this is over this morning. I really think that Trump really got into the snake nest a couple days ago when he said he's bringing people back from Syria. And man, did the rats and the snakes go squirreling around when he announced that. You know, the step down of Mattis and all these people, all these war hawks, you know, that want to buy more bombs, more bullets, kill more little babies. It just upset their apple cart. And then he stepped on it the next day, and you know, Afghanistan reduction force.
Yes.
Forces too. And they don't want this. He couldn't have picked up better one to hit them with.
That's right.
You know, talk borders and all that.
Saw a news article that Hollywood itself was upset. Oh, Hollywood is so mad coming out of Syria. It's like, what the heck? You know?
Yeah.
Why would they be upset about it? Well, you know, let me tell you something. If your son or daughter or husband or wife are over there and getting blown up and shot, you want them to come home too. You know, let them, let Syria deal with Syria.
I'm a Vietnam vet. I was a grunt medic in Nam up in the Ishaw Valley. I know what it is to kill people for nothing but money, greed.
Yep.
And I'll tell you where he's really hitting that too, when it comes to Ukraine. Right now they're concentrating on Ukraine, Crimea, and if you look at the history, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years, the Russians have had the Crimea, and they've fought for it. It's been taken away, and when even the Turks wanted to keep it, and the Brits came in to help them to steal it from the Russians, look at the Charge of the Light Brigade and all that. Well, they've been the one force up there to keep the Muslim ragheads where they belong, and they can't have that either. So they will fight Trump, and they'll fight him, and I'll go with him anywhere he wants to go right now. But it's hard to say that about a politician, and they say that he's not accomplishing things here and there. You know, it's like Lily Putin's with, what's his name, Gulliver. They're, all these little strings are just trying to tie him down. And I pray for that success.
Amen.
That it's revealed.
Amen.
Well, thanks, thank you,
Kevin.
So much.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Good talking to you. God bless.
God bless you.
And thank you for
God
your
bless.
Service. Thank you. Well, there you go. You know, that's some calls. I'm going to go back to your term there, Tim. That's calls from the heartland. That's how the people feel. That's how the people feel. They don't want the, we don't want our troops over in foreign wars. We don't want, you know, this these invaders coming in. I think we want to be able to grow a little hemp to make a profit. Man, wouldn't you want your neighbors that are farmers to be able to do that? Absolutely. That's the heartland. Well, guys,
we're out of time.
Wow. I still got coffee left. I must have talked too much. So forgive me for that. Well, folks, we'll invite you to church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 in the morning, Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern and 7:30 if you're out there on the West Coast. You can join us at church. Scriptures4America.org is the place to go. And so you can. We encourage you to do that. To come. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. We'll have some more current events and talk about that a little bit. And we'll have, I think, some Christmas music tomorrow, Jason, if we dare say Christmas music, seasonal music. You know, some people are offended by that. You know, we just have to forgive one another if we offend. That's just how it is. And so we ask for that. But some music of the season. And we're glad that at least some people are thinking about it this time, whether it's the right time or not. They're thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ, because that happened. Thank God that it did. Guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, shake hard.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, big high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.
soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.